Let's bring in Ren LaVar, NHL insider from Tavia Sports. Ren, that's exactly how I felt. I thought, okay, this smacks of pushing the panic button. But I think it needed to be said, did it not?
Yeah, I think it needed to be said. And I was just happy that, Mark Bergevin, the way he explained the problems with his teams was exactly the way I felt about that team. Yes, there's a lot of players who are not playing at the level that they're supposed to. But at the same time, are they as bad as 1-6-1 after their road trip or 1-7-1? No, they were not that bad. So they won versus the Panthers on Tuesday. It wasn't the first period was tough for them. The first 10 seconds were tough for the Montreal Canadiens. But they were capable of taking the advantage of a team who was just really undisciplined, gave away that game to the Montreal Canadiens. But, it happens before earlier this season, and they weren't able to take advantage of that. Now they were. I feel that there's a different vibe because, like Mark Bergevin said yesterday, when we were 9-0 or 10-0 last year, we weren't as good as that. And I remember a year ago to this date, he talked to us and said, hey, before talking about a Stanley Cup, please, you can't start talking about the playoffs and things like that in October. Well, if it was that the way he was thinking in October 2016, it has to be the same way in 2017. The problem is, he's not playing. The Kings are not in the market. You have the Raptors. You have the Blue Jays. There's only one team in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And even if people are saying, well, the Montreal impact, yeah, I understand. But I don't think there was any riot in the street because the impact didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Montreal, it's a different. Totally different animal. The panic level was high after 3 losses. Imagine after 6 or 7. I mean, it was a little crazy. So, but the real problem when you look at the big picture, because that's what we need to do, is to look at who's playing in Montreal tonight, okay? And it's the LA Kings. And, even if the Toronto Maple Leafs on Monday were capable of beating that team, I mean, you know that it's going to be complicated. And you know that you have a bigger challenge in front of you than the Florida Panthers right now. So I can't wait for tonight, to be honest with you, because for me, the way that team is going to play, I'll know if they turn the corner or if the demons are still there. Mm. If the demons are out, even if in a loss, I don't care. But there is some demons, and it's confidence, and Mark Bergevin talked about that yesterday. Confidence level is not really high. Maybe better today. You look in Las Vegas, you think the confidence level of that team is high or low? I think the answer is really easy. It's mm-hmm. really high. Is the Golden Knights as good as their record? I doubt it, but it's not a bad team either.
It was like a pressure release valve, right? The combination of the win and then Bergevin speaking after. If they'd lost that game, would have been interesting. If Bergevin had chosen to speak, that would have been a very different press conference. But you could almost feel, Ren, it's like the steam being let off here. But if they play badly against a much better team, the Kings, a better team than Florida, or if the goalie has a bad night, or there's different ways to win or lose a game, but if, as you said, if some of the demons reappear against the Kings, the pressure goes right back up again, doesn't it?
Exactly. And that's the problem, okay? Because, let's face it, it's not a division team. It's not a conference team, the LA Kings. So I'm not supposed to say that, but I'm going to say it, okay? Those 2 points are not really important in the big picture. Yes, they are for the Montreal Canadiens. But let's say they were a 500 team, I don't think they'll be that important because the big points are, it was on Tuesday versus the Panthers. It's going to be on Saturday versus the Rangers. It's going to be on Monday versus the Ottawa Senators in Ottawa. So what I mean by that is if they're going back to, I can't play with, I don't have any confidence in my game, and that building can turn on you really quickly. So I think the only, you know, and I talked about that, and I'm going to repeat it, and because there's no other way around. If Carey Price is playing like Carey Price, even if the team in front of him is not playing that well, he's going to make the difference, and he's going to give confidence to his team. When Carey was out 2 years ago, I remember talking to you guys, and I was saying to you, I said, guys, a goalie, the importance of a goaltender is major. If he's playing badly, he's not going to give confidence to the players in front of him. He's going to play differently. That's when Carey Price was out. Mike Condon was in. Nothing about against Mike Condon. It was his first season, and it was a lot of pressure on him, but it didn't matter. It didn't work because there was no confidence in goaltending. If confidence in goaltending is back, and I think it is, it's going to be different because that's what Carey Price is. And when I'm hearing people, there's too much pressure on Carey Price, I don't believe that. He's not known as the best goalie in the NHL for a reason. He's not going to be paid starting next season as the best goaltender for a reason. I mean, you need to live in your own reality, and this is the reality of the Montreal Canadiens and the reality, obviously, of Carey Price. That being said, I'm not saying that Carey needs to score goals here. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying if Carey is playing like he did on Tuesday, there'll be more smiles in Montreal than people being upset with the way the team is playing.
Ren, where's this whole thing with Alexander Galchenyuk going? I mean, look, I'm not in Montreal anymore, but Montreal's like any other city. I really believe there are times, and it's not just hockey. It can be any other sport in any other city. There are times where you just look at a player and say, you know what? I mean, it's time to move on for both sides.
Yeah.
It's not working. Are we at that point with Alexander Galchenyuk realistically where we got to say, you know what? The answer for him and the answer for this organization is to have him someplace else.
I'll say yes to that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that starting this season, he wouldn't be here. I really expected him to be traded at the draft, and it didn't happen. And I understand why. Because even if some team said to me, you know what Mark is asking, Renault, is way too high. Okay, it's way too high for you, but it's not way too high for the Montreal Canadiens because it's not like it was a secret that there was a chance that, Alex Galchenyuk could be traded. So that was not a secret for anybody. At the draft, I remember pretty well having tons of conversation about that. But if Mark Bergevin decided to trade him and get in return something Trump's that hasn't real value...
Is it Met or Mete?
I think would have been a big problem for this team and a bigger problem for Mark Bergevin because Alex Galchenyuk, when he's on, like when he's playing like Tuesday... So what I mean by... when he's playing like Tuesday is simple. At one point in the game, Michael McCarron is getting hit from behind from a defenseman from the Panthers, and he's on the ice. Instead of turning around and going to the bench, he decided to, you know, to push that D around a little bit, not drop the gloves, just say, hey, you don't do that to my teammate. That was the first time that I said, okay, he's on. Second of all, power play goal. I mean, he had somebody on his back. He was capable of scoring that first goal that was huge for Montreal. He had another chance before. So, and he's playing on the fourth line. So I'm looking at the way, you know, he played, and I'm sure that Claude Julien, when he's going to talk to him on the ice this morning in 20 minutes, he's going to say to him, Alex, give me the same thing. Give me the same thing. Good things will happen to you, okay? You're not giving up on him. What I mean by that is when you're giving up on a player, you're going to trade him, and you're going to get a second pick. Third pick, that's giving up. That's giving up on a first-round pick. If somebody calls, let's say, I really like Larry Brooks in the New York Post on Monday, and he was looking around, just keep putting out IDs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the IDs was, hey, maybe in Montreal, Alex Galchenyuk could be the New York Rangers' second centerman. In return, maybe the Rangers have to give Chris Kreider or Matt Zuccarello.
Right.
Okay, now we're talking. Okay, you know what I mean? Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're naming players. You're not naming prospect or projects. You're naming real NHL players that I think has value. If Mark Bergevin is getting that call, obviously he's going to listen and think about it. But until he's receiving getting a call from another GM trying to find a solution, and the names that are on paper are really interesting, he's not going to take that call. I remember him at the draft saying to me, Renaud, and that was on record, I have people who are giving me a canoe for a battleship. That's what I'm receiving for the battleship. And it was funny, but I understand where he was going. He was just saying to the world, you know what? I'm not giving away any of my quote-unquote big guns. So if you want them, you're going to give something in return.
Brent, what did you see in that Florida game? Obviously surviving the kind of early yips in that game.
Yeah.
But beyond that, what did you see in them that looked like something that might carry over?
Passion. Passion, guys. You need to have passion in your game. That's one of the reasons. Maybe people in Toronto are not really aware of him, but you have a player called Jakob Delarose. I mean, big guy, tall guy. He's got it all. Got it all. He's a Swedish kid. Great kid. Passion. Bring me the... I'm not talking about emotion here. It's two different things.
Right.
I don't want you to run around and take bad penalties because you were emotional on the ice. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about passion. Passion about, playing at the Bell Center, being happy to be there, scoring big goals, just helping the guy beside you. Passion about the game. That's it. And not being afraid. And the reason why they were not afraid is just because of Carey Price playing so well and sending a message to everybody, I'm on tonight, okay? And even if it was 1-0 after to start the second period, it was not the end of the world. Yes, they didn't play well for the 5 minutes after that, but Carey Price was there for them. That was the difference. He was there for them when it was 1-0. He was there for them at the middle of the third period when it was 3-1 for Montreal, and he made two huge saves at the middle of the third. If there's only one puck going in, what's going to happen? Are they going to panic? Is the building going to turn against them? No. Carey Price made those saves, okay? And after that, they were capable of scoring two more goals, and it was the end of the story.
Well, if a game against the Florida Panthers turns out to be the emotional tipping point, that's a strange emotional tipping point. But who knows, man?
You need to start somewhere. Yeah. You need to start somewhere.
Hey, Ren, listen, we appreciate you doing this as always. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, enjoy this one, guys.